Okay, we'll start with the lighter part of this sermon. This is kind of a hard thing to talk about because it's about a combination of blessing people and not cursing them, and forgiveness. It's very difficult in our walk with Jesus because when we're bruised and broken and hurting inside because of something somebody else does, and the last thing we want to hear is that we are expected, not just recommended, but expected to love and forgive and bless that person. So it's not fair, and it's not possible, except with the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about, what he makes possible for us to do that we cannot in our humanness possibly do. So okay, which one do I hit to start at? 3 o'clock. That one. Okay.
He doesn't walk very good, does he?
Thumper?
Yes, Mama.
What did your father tell you this morning?
If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all.
Just eat the blossom. That's the good stuff.
Thumper?
Yes, Mama.
What did your father tell you?
About what?
About eating the blossoms and leaving the greens.
Oh, that one. Eating greens is a special treat. It makes long ears and great big feet. But it sure is awful stuff to eat. I made that last part up myself.
What did your father tell you?
About what?
About playing with your sisters.
A family that plays together, stays together. Even if it means taking your dumb sisters.
Hey, mama's boy! Why don't you run home to your mama, you big old mama's boy?
Thumper!
Coming, Mama!
So if I want a black screen, I push the bottom one?
Yeah.
There. What did your father tell you? What did your father tell you? I found out that God does not strongly recommend anything. He does not suggest anything. There are commands. There are things that he expects of us. And this is part of our training. And the whole purpose of it is because, you know, our kids tend to look like us. And he wants us, God wants us to look like Jesus. It's the whole purpose of transforming us into the image of Christ. And it's a hard process because we were born with such a sin nature. It just, we don't automatically want to be good like Thumper. We want to eat the blossoms. We want to eat the chocolate. But God says, our Father says, bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Why would God say such a thing? Doesn't he know how much it hurts when somebody really schmucks you? Does God not understand how much it hurts to be abused or beaten or betrayed, raped? Doesn't he know how it feels to lose a child because of a drunk driver. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I love the Message version of the second part of this. In prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. These are the hard things. These are some of the hardest things that we ever face in our lives. There isn't a person here, and I know many of your stories. Many of you know my story. There isn't a one of us who hasn't been beaten up inside, whose heart hasn't had a baseball bat taken to it at some point. And yet, God says, forgive them. Not only that, bless them. That's the last thing you want to do. I've got a story I want to tell you. Many of you have read, well, maybe not this book, but Ruth Chaness, many of you have this book on prayer. It's called Prayer Strategy Resource Book. It's wonderful. And the author of this also wrote her life story, very, very brief part of the life story, and how she came to write this prayer book. And so I'm going to read a portion of this book. If any of you want to borrow this, and I mean borrow it, read it quick and get it back to me, it'll be helpful. It's called, from Ruth Chaness's book, Unlocking the Heavens. And unlocking the heavens is when we pray. And this is specifically having to do with bless and do not curse. The wife of an elder came to our house one day. She was thinking of getting a divorce from her husband and proceeded to tell us her reasons. She finally paused and Les, her husband, said, bless, I mean, Ruth Chaness's husband, not the husband of the woman who came. He was, by the way, a pastor. So Les said to her, she showed her the scripture, I'm sorry, bless and curse not, he said. She wanted to know what Les meant by that. When he repeated what he said, she still didn't understand. He showed her the scripture from Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Finally, the lady's face lit up with a big smile. Oh, I get it, she said. Then she picked up her purse and left. We talked to that lady several months later, and she told us what Les had said that day changed her life. As she left our house that very day, she had begun to bless her husband instead of thinking and saying negative things about him. As a result, their marriage completely turned around, and she was now very happy with her husband. So we see a woman on the verge of a divorce. Many of us have not only been on the verge of divorce, in fact, probably most of us have been divorced. It's a very, very difficult thing when we're in the midst of a painful relationship to just stop and say, okay, God, I'm going to just put what you say into practice, because the emotions get so involved and it just stops you. So I'm thinking her husband was pretty difficult to live with if she was on the verge of divorce, or she wouldn't want to leave. But she did believe God, and obviously, I mean, she was a Christian. This wasn't something that you do as a, you know, first thing you do as a Christian. These are things that we mature into the ability to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's another one. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. There is there's a type of bondage that happens to us as well as to others when we judge or criticize or harbor resentments against people who've hurt us. When we hold on to the problem, we actually bind the problem to the person. And we are in bondage to the degree that we cannot or are not willing to forgive. Many of you are familiar with the Christmas Carol, the Jacob Marley, one of the first ghosts that appears to him. Now, Jacob Marley said, was explaining to Scrooge the chains that we forge in life. This is what he's dealing with right now. I mean, he's a ghost. Don't get me going on ghosts and stuff like that. But I mean, the symbolism is these are chains that we forge for ourselves. One of his chains were greed and his idol, his god, was money, among other things. But for us, it can be any number of things, but forgiveness, unforgiveness, lack of being able to release somebody from their offenses against us, begin to develop chains in us. They become like, they're invisible, although they might be on the inside, like invisible poisonous chains that just spread inside us. It just brings depression. It brings, beyond depression, it can bring despair. And I want, because this is mainly on bless and curse not, I want to give a little bit of an illustration of what happened personally to me and why I'm speaking about this whole thing. It's kind of a new old thing for me. There are times, you know, in your walk with the Lord that you learn lessons along the way, but sometimes then you relearn them in a powerful and impacting way. This was one of those things that the Lord really had to kind of grab me by the ears and say, hello. And a little while ago, something had happened that was extremely painful for me. Somebody that I loved dearly did something that felt like a grenade went off in my gut. It's just one of those things where you can't even think. It just comes as such a shock. And what we tend to do at times like this, we go through a litany of all their faults. We go through all of the things that are wrong with them, and then rage. First of all, the rage is normal. The anger is normal. I'm not saying don't be angry. God says be angry and sin not. But he never said don't be angry. He never said don't be furious. He said to express it, of course, because, you know, David in his Psalms, how often did he lament before the Lord? I mean, there wasn't anybody who experienced more persecution other than Jesus than King David. And so all the Psalms that he wrote, many of them were praise and adoration, but many of them were saying, God, did you see what they're doing to me? You see that I'm being persecuted? Can you see that they're trying to kill me? Did you see what they did to me? This is what I want you to do to them. I want you to shove their teeth down their throat. I want you to rip them a new one. I want you to cut them off at the knees. May all their children be orphans. But he's saying this to God, isn't he? God is safe. And we can tell him that. We have to tell him that. In fact, if we don't tell him how frustrated and angry we are, it just goes right in here, and it just begins to work in us just in such twisted ways. And the longer it stays there, the harder it is for us to move beyond it. So I'm going through my lament, and any of you who've been through healing care or formational counseling know that this is something that we work on. We take our own stories of the pain and the abuse, and we lay it out before the Father and say, this was not fair. But we get it up and out so that the poison, the stuff from inside comes out, and we can put it where at the feet of the only one who can really make a difference. So I finished telling the Lord what I thought of this person, and there is this quiet, still, small voice that you've heard Vic talk about. It said, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And that actually was like a second grenade going off right here, because I was incensed that he would ask me to bless, not only forgive, I mean, forgive you, let somebody off the hook, but to bless them and to go beyond that point of just saying, okay, Lord, I let them off the hook and then get on with your life. No, he wants us to pray a blessing into their lives, because we release heaven into the lives of people who hurt us. And isn't this what Jesus wants? He wants to release heaven into our lives. He wants to release the kingdom of God into us. Well, reluctantly and a little petulantly, like, you know, the teenager who's being asked to take out the trash, I said, oh, all right, I like Thumper. All right. And I began blessing this person. And boy, I'll tell you, when you're obedient and it's the Lord who's telling you to do something, it's not as hard as you think once you take that first step. So I started blessing this person. And gradually, the more I blessed this person with all of heaven's blessings, I blessed them with the joy of heaven. I blessed them with the fulfillment of all of their dreams and all of their desires, that God would just raise them up in whatever it was that he was calling them to do. I blessed his call on their lives. And as I did this, the strangest thing, and I've never experienced anything quite like this before, that sense of the fury, the rage, the hurt, the pain that was in my heart just began to dissipate. It just began to evaporate. And by the time I was done, and Vic can, I mean, I talked with Vic after this. Maybe I didn't use so many words with him when I shared it with him, but I said, it's gone. I can love them. I can bless them. I can let them go. But it wasn't because of mere words that I spoke. It was because Jesus had called me to do it, and by the power of his Spirit in me, made it possible for me to forgive from my heart, which is the whole ball of wax. You can give lip service to forgiveness, but until we forgive right from here, the pain of the unforgiveness stays with us. The pain of what they did to me stays. And I have bound that person to that act that he or she did to me. This is a spiritual thing. This is a totally supernatural thing. This is not anything that, as I've said many times already, this isn't something that we can conjure up ourselves. It is a gift from God. I believe with all my heart that forgiveness is a gift from God. Not only that what he forgave us of, which was the greatest of all, as he shed every drop of blood that he had to forgive every single thing, not only that we've done, but ever thought of doing in our sin nature. and we've all got them. I don't stand up here pure as the driven snow, although I do from time to time profess that to the band. They know better. But, you know, I've had many years, and I've gone through a lot of ups and downs, and I've made a lot of bad decisions. Some really, really, really bad decisions. And every one of those things were put on the cross. Every one of those things were taken with Christ. And then he said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that you can have the power to do what I'm doing. He did this as a man, as a human being. He did not do all of this as God with all of this supernatural power. He did it all as a man. So he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit so that you can do this and so that he will remind you of everything that I have taught you and he will give you the words to say. And I am example right now of God giving me not only words to say, but a desire, a growing desire in my own heart to let this person go. And then it spread to other people. I realized whatever else I was doing also was, okay, what's the curse part of this? The curse is in speaking against these people, is in saying negative things, anything that removes us really from the presence of God. But a curse is something that is a negative thing that is put on somebody else, and it is always a spiritual thing. It has mass to it. It has weight to us. We are all energy. We are pure energy. God is pure energy. He created us out of pure energy. So our thoughts and our words have mass. And of course, the Word of God is spirit. So all of this, fumblingly say, is that these are hard words. Forgive from your heart, or you won't be forgiven. It really is kind of with God, what goes around comes around. Although his grace and his mercy are so unimaginably great that we don't always get what we deserve, but he does allow us to experience the negative consequences of what we do or do not do. So it's his power, it's his power, it's his power that enables us to do anything good, and especially something as difficult as forgiving and letting go and blessing on top of that, the frosting on the cake, blessing from our hearts those who have really hurt us. Well, I'm way off my notes. Yes, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. Your choice. You choose. When we criticize people, we actually are cursing them. I'm thinking of Facebook. Who hasn't seen all the political candidates on Facebook? It's to a point now where I feel almost ill when I look at it, all of the horrible things they say about each other and all the things we say about them. This ought not to be, as Jesus would say, because they are his children. Obama, Romney, all of the rest of them, God created every single one of them in his image. Who are we, for heaven's sake, to criticize them? Who are we to pass judgment on them? I'm not saying we can't see what's right in front of our eyes. I'm not saying you can't see the state that our nation is in right now. But to start battering people who we are blaming for all of these things is absolutely wrong. This ought not to be. Jesus said, bless and do not curse? What if we just filled Facebook with blessings? What if we just said, Lord, I just bless President Obama and Mitt Romney and the Gary Johnson and all of the rest of them with heaven's blessings. With, I bless the call that you have on their lives. I bless what you want in their lives, because that's the only thing that's going to make a difference in this country. We have the great privilege of voting, and don't let me get started on this too. We have the great privilege of voting, as Vic was saying on the way in. That's why we have a republic. We don't have to vote on every little thing that comes down the pike. We choose representatives to vote for us, and if we do our homework, we'll vote for good representatives. But we must not then bash them. We can unvote them too. Why don't we start blessing? Okay, I know that sounds Pollyanna. I'm going to tell a story, and I have Leslie's permission, and it's something that happened to her daughter fairly recently. And it's in the category of a curse. Leslie's daughter was told something by her father, that's Leslie's ex-husband, that was very wounding. Her father had asked her to go to Arby's and order lunch for six of the people that were together. They were on a camping trip, family camping trip. So she came back and something was wrong with the order. Imagine that, something wrong with an Arby's order. He lit into her about it, and then she asked him, Dad, haven't you ever made a mistake? And his answer was, the only mistake I ever made was having you. Can you imagine? Maybe somebody has had someone say that to them. Maybe somebody has said that to you, or somebody that you love. Someone as close to you as a parent says, the only mistake I ever made was you. That's a curse. Because where does that go in a child or an adult? Where does that go? Right smack to the heart. Right to the gut. And you know who wants to take that lie from the pit of hell, take that lie and run with it. It's the father of lies himself who just will attach little things to that lie and keep bringing it up. And before long, you begin to believe that that's the truth. I had a label on me from early childhood that said, you are bad. Paula is bad. I thought about that for another 60 years before it finally got healed up, because I operated under the false belief that I was a bad girl. And a few years ago, I began to go into healing with the Lord, and He made it available for me. He showed me, wait a minute, you don't have to believe that lie anymore. And He began to speak the truth to me, which is the only thing that will ever heal us from the lies we believe that create such craters in our heart. And what your daughter needs is the truth from Jesus saying, honey, you are no mistake. You are with me. I had you right here and in my heart before the egg and the sperm ever met. That's how precious she is. That's how precious each one of us is. So we don't have the right to curse anyone who was in God's heart before the foundations of the world. This ought not to be. Can't do it. And humanly, we cannot do it. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain, sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It takes only a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. We're getting late, and I didn't mean to go on this long. We need to finish up our worship set. I need to make time available for anybody who wants healing, anybody who wants God to fill them with a holy, passionate, supernatural desire to bless those who have cursed them, and to release the curse on themselves, and to release the curses on any other people. Curse is a really strong word, and people in our culture don't like to hear it, aside from the new agey stuff, but I'm telling you, curses are real. And when we've been laboring under such a thing, like you are a mistake, we are in essence cursed. We want to release that. God wants to release us from those, and wants us to release others for whom we have inadvertently cursed. That picture, the last picture I want to show is a way that I know some of us has felt. It's called the scream. And it's up for, nobody knows exactly what the interpretation is, but I see that as a silent scream. I see that as the ache and the pain in a heart that has not yet been able to process that pain. This is a pain that has not yet come up and out. This is a pain that is still residing right in the pit of our stomachs. God wants to heal that. He wants those arms to go up like this. So he wants to fill us with blessings. He wants to get rid of the curse. And I don't want to leave that picture up too long, because I know some of you can altogether too well relate to it. I can. Oh, I have so much more. We'll have to have part two next week. But I do just want to say there is help available. There's healing. There's love. And sometimes it doesn't take years and years of counseling. Sometimes it takes a word from God. Say the word, and he will be healed. The centurion who meets Jesus on the road and says, I've got a son who's not doing well. He's very sick. And Jesus said, okay, we'll go heal him. But he says, you don't have to come. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. Jesus can say a word to us, because it's the real word. It's the truth. And it's always the truth trumps the lies, always. So I guess we're done with this part. Call the band.